Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. We have with us this week Brian and Jason from GFDA.
Yeah.
And that is goodfuckingdesignadvice.com.
You got it.
Now, I was actually speaking, we were talking about you at the HOW conference. I was with Ken Visacchi O'Grady for a little bit. He was on the show a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said you guys were former Kent State students of his or something?
We are,
yeah. We both did our undergrad and grad programs at Kent State. So we had the luxury of having Ken as a professor for a number of years.
And he had the challenge of dealing with us for a number of years.
Right.
And he also gave the slight indication that you may have started this like during his class time, probably when you should have been working.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's an accurate indication.
So what was the whole idea behind GFDA for those listeners out there?
Well, we started, it was entirely by accident. It was not, we never intended to do what we've done and be here for that matter. We started off, we were going to get coffee one morning and I'd been teaching for like a semester or two longer than Jason had. And we were
now you guys both teach at Kent State as well?
Yeah, we teach as like adjunct or part-time faculty members.
Okay, well this just goes to say that my student tip on that show when the Visacchi O'Grady's were on was to, if you're students to go to Kent State or wherever Jen teaches if you're up in the Cleveland area.
Cleveland right. State, yeah.
So this just reinforces that. So students in the Cleveland area, Ohio area, find these places.
Yeah.
Check us out.
Kent State's definitely a good school to go to school for design. So just to take off where Brian left off, I was having some issues as a young teacher just with becoming frustrated with my students asking the same questions all the time.
No, that doesn't happen.
That never happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was, I was teaching a technology course, so it was a lot of like, save as, and then I would, you know, file, save as, I would tell, you know, John here in the corner, and then Susan would ask me the same question 2 seconds later, and then it became like this shouting match. I would just shout the answers out to the students, I try to teach by the masses, and this kind of became frustrating after a while, and Brian and I took a walk to get some coffee, and I was venting my frustrations to him, and through kind of a quick conversation, we arrived at the idea that we should create a website where we deliver design advice to young designers. And the hook was providing them with advice and then adding the F word.
Which we both thought was hilarious. And so we went back to the studio and we sat down. And we basically, it was a Monday, we just
well, all
started.
Advice is, all advice is better with swearing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we saw it at the very beginning. It was like, you know, throughout your entire design education experience, people have been giving you advice, whether you've been paying attention or not. Now, how can we really amp that up a bit and deliver it with a kick?
Put some F words in.
Right.
Simple.
So that was pretty much it, as stupid as it sounds.
And you found out that the domain good fucking design advice was available, I assume.
Yeah,
and,
surprisingly. I mean, who would have thought? But yeah, we kind of came back and we're like, well, what are we going to call this? And we kind of shrugged and said, good fucking design advice. And we went back to the studio and like I went onto my service provider and like, oh, what did you know? That's available.
It's only the world's longest domain, so we were surprised by that. So Brian bought the domain and then shouted over to me, which I sat across the room at the time, and we faced each other. And he said, hey, I bought the domain. And I said, good. I'll start programming on a 5-column grid, 960 grid, and why don't you get cracking away?
You learned that from Ken, too. He was talking about the responsiveness of a 960 grid.
ironically enough, our site is not currently responsive. But it will
be. Well, as Ken said, how can you get more responsive than a 960 grid?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we delivered that. I said, Brian, throw something up in a 5-column design. And it was like a 9-to-5 one day, and we had the website up and going.
What'd you guys do to promote it, or did this just kind of promote itself?
Practically nothing. We sent it out to a bunch of friends on Facebook. And again, between us, it was really just a joke. We didn't have any like huge aspirations. We just thought it was fucking hilarious.
No intention.
And
anything.
And so we set it out. The one smart thing that we did initially was we set up Google Analytics. And so at 5 o'clock, we launched the site, for lack of a better term, and sent it out to some friends on Facebook. And we went back at midnight and checked our analytics. And lo and behold, in those short 7 hours, we had accumulated about 500 unique visitors, which absolutely floored us, because usually we, you know, in our own personal portfolio sites, we're lucky if we get like 5 a month. So 500 a night was awesome.
Yeah, that was a big deal. We closed out the first month with 320,000 plus visitors that generated over 3.1 million page views. So that kind of struck a chord with us. We realized that, you know, there's obviously a need for advice and a need for inspiration.
And a need for swearing.
And a need for swearing.
Need for swearing. Right.
People need, they need more than just to be told to make it red, you know. They need someone screaming the F word right alongside them, so that's how we gave it to them.
And from here, you guys have taken it to kind of a merchandise level next. Was that kind of an, I mean,
yeah.
Everything's black, red, and white because otherwise it wouldn't be designed, I assume.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Well, we wanted, that was some of the initial thought was we wanted it to be as neutral as possible. We didn't want to provide any additional voice other than, you know, Helvetica and swearing. And our background at Kent State was in Swiss typography, so we just sort of drew on our roots. Mm-hmm. But as far as merchandising, we really didn't even think about it until a bunch of our viewers started sending us messages via email and Facebook and saying, hey, you should sell t-shirts and posters. And we were kind of like, oh,
that's,
yeah, that sounds like a good idea. All right. Yeah, well, we could do that.
I'm sure you noticed that we actually bought some stickers. You obviously couldn't have missed them in the office.
No. I saw them all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we never missed them.
Yeah,
you have quite the collection here.
Yeah. Well, we do. There are some stickers from you guys promoting you around here, and a couple buttons around.
Take a look.
Yeah. Good luck finding them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from this has led to, well, I guess why you're here. You guys are. Well, let's take a break, and we'll talk about embarking on what is a 52-day road trip.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're day five in.
Day five.
Day five in Omaha. Ooh.
Still alive.
Okay.
Day five.
We'll see if we make it through the weekend. We'll be right back. All right, so you guys are day five in.
Day five.
What was the inspiration behind this road trip you guys are taking, which obviously has to come through Omaha because it's the only interstate that goes through the country or something.
Right, exactly. we have
a bottleneck on traffic is what we do. That's how we trap people into the city.
And do some people just never leave?
No, they find their way out. People leave all the time. But they end up having to come through here for some reason.
It's the corn.
Yeah.
Well, we started maybe about a year ago talking about, we just both finished up our MFAs at Kent State University. And,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.
We've been there for, getting pretty close to a decade between, both undergrad and grad school and teaching and everything in between. So, starting to look at where we're going to move next. And since we have this business, we're sort of joined at the hip for at least a little while longer. So
as long as the paychecks keep coming in and going on and click it, you guys are stuck, right?
Exactly.
For the moment, yeah.
So we started wanting to look at other cities around the country. And initially we thought like, well, you know, maybe we'll just take weekend visits and see like people that we know in cities or try to reach out. And then we were kind of thinking like, well, maybe we could do like speaking engagements and see if like that could help to cover the cost so we're not paying to visit these cities. And somewhere along the way we were like, well, what if we just did a whole like rock star tour?
Mm-hmm. And we kind of laughed about this idea, and then the more we actually thought about it becoming a reality, I think we were inspired by a few different things. You know, there were a few other designers that had kind of either traveled in a trailer or, you know, visited the world's longest garage sale or been in a van of some kind and traveled. And then we also went to a conference which was in the Dominican called the What If Conference. And we spoke there, and we heard a lot of the other people's stories that were speakers, and it seemed like they had been doing all this traveling, and Brian and I kind of looked at, you know, we're like, well, we should be traveling more. Our story's not cool enough yet. So we came home in March and kind of tossed the idea around, hopped on eBay, and bought this van, sight unseen, 72 Dodge, flat out.
I don't see how anything can go wrong here.
No, absolutely not.
And then, you know, drove out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, picked the van up. And about 2 hours in, van broke down.
Okay.
Just to note, though, the van only had 24,000 miles on it when we bought it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
So,
and it's in pristine condition other than that initial little hiccup we had.
Yeah. They call it a cherry in the car world, I guess.
Yeah.
So picked the van up and drove home. And then after that, I guess once you own the van, you don't really have a choice other than to start planning a tour. We kind of did it backwards.
Now, I did hear that you forgot to get air conditioning in your van.
That may be a rumor. We have air conditioning, but since the van gets such shit gas mileage, we thought, you know, it's best just to leave it off and rough it
Okay. And it is roughing it because we're right here, even though this won't air, you know, when we air it, I'm sure it'll be gorgeous here.
Yeah.
But, you know, as of now, it's 100 degrees out, and it's been that way for a week here. Mm-hmm. It's You guys have hit a heat wave.
We're aware.
Yeah. Someone was even talking on the news the other night, just a couple nights ago, they said the heat wave will be good for the next 24 hours, and like it's not even going to break at like 2 in the morning.
No.
Just stay indoors.
Staying through. Our first night, the first day we set off on the tour, we stopped in Indy, and like we had very little time before our meet and greet with the AIGA chapter there, and Brian and I were like sink showering, like we've been in the car all day, you know, and it was like, I can't believe we're actually going to go speak and meet people.
And the best part about our first day was we actually stopped real quick and met some students at the Art Institute of Indianapolis, and so we parked and went and we did sort of an informal, like,
meet
people and talk for about 20, 30 minutes. And we came back out, and somebody had stolen our gas cap, which was a bit of a problem. So in between that and our actual presentation with the AIGA chapter in the evening, we ran to Advanced Auto Parts and then AutoZone and found sort of a makeshift replacement that would fit.
Yeah. You'd be surprised that there are just no 1972 Dodge B300 Sportsman gas caps lying around in the back of an AutoZone somewhere.
Big surprise.
That's a huge surprise. Only ordered.
So, which led into some calamity on the second day because we went to gas up probably about 30, 40 minutes outside of Chicago. Again, sort of scrambling to make it to our destination on time. And Jason was going to fill up and I was standing next to him. We were just having a conversation and he took the gas cap off and 2 gallons of gas exploded all over both of us, mostly him.
Oh.
But enough so that we had to, like... change in the van because your underwear soaked in gasoline, it's not really a hygienic way to travel.
Yeah, I've
heard rumors of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many stops do you have on this 52-day tour? So, like, how many more adventures? I mean, I feel bad that we're catching you so early because I have a feeling that with the stories accumulating at this rate,
Yeah,
are you driving back this way? Because it's going to be, I don't even know if you'll be
alive. No, we're kind of circling around. We have a total of 20 confirmed events right now, and then there's about 4 or 5 that are tentative, that are sort of towards the end of our trip, like in mid-October, that we're waiting either for like AIGA board approval in the city or just various other things that are just not fully confirmed yet.
Right.
But we have our route pretty clearly defined at this point.
And you can imagine over 52 days, there are some chapters that just need more time to fit us in and figure it out.
Yeah.
What's the one city that each of you is like most excited about landing, like due to any sort of personal reason?
I'd say I'm really excited about hitting up San Francisco. I've never been out west before, so I'm just excited about really anywhere along the west coast. I mean, we're going to be in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and LA. I guess if I had to pick one, just San Francisco.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Seattle, because the Design Week there, and then Boston for the same, I think. It'll be interesting to see how Design Week is handled in the States. So.
Oh, right. Now, yeah, they had the HOW one. When we went to HOW a couple months ago, they had the San Francisco Design Week was held at the exact same time and stuff.
Hmm.
So I guess there are a bunch of Design Week events going on, too. I hit like, the opening party,
yeah.
And that was all. And then it was like, oh, I'm at the conference now.
Well, we're unfortunately gonna miss the Seattle week in terms of like speaking. We're gonna speak with the AIGA Seattle chapter, but then we are gonna hit the Houston Design Week, which is towards the end of September, I think, like around the 25th, and then the Boston Design Exchange, which is their first year doing like a Design Week program. We're gonna be doing like a short 20-minute TED Talk at that.
Okay, so you guys just looping from Ohio west, or are you guys going east coast as well?
So we're kind of going counterclockwise around the country. So we're here, we're headed to Denver next, tomorrow, and then up through Montana to Seattle, and then down the west coast, and then through the southern United States, Arizona, Austin, Houston, New Orleans, and then we sort of start cutting up. We head to Birmingham, Nashville, and then we're in South Carolina with the Half and Half, who prints our posters. And then through North Carolina, Virginia, D.C., New York, Vermont, Boston, and then back through Pennsylvania.
That sounds like a road trip. Well,
yeah. You can tell that Brian is the one who helped well, basically headed up the bookings, because I can't, I'm like, every day I get in the van, yeah. I either look at Brian and ask him, or I secretly in the hotel room flip the next page of the itinerary and look, say, oh, day five.
So whenever I quit my job for GFDA at some point in the future, and I have to, you know, put a resume together to go out and find work or, you know, a teaching position, I'm going to put tour manager as part of my experience.
There is a 50-50 shot that one or both of you will end up pulling out Hello Cleveland on the wrong city.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we'll be talking about what's next, and we got a few questions from our last guest as well. So
fantastic.
So the design industry basically knows you two as doling out great design advice, and it is good design advice, mm-hmm. with swearing involved. What else is it that you guys do, I mean, outside of that? Or is that all you plan to do? Is that enough?
Well, we do a little bit of client work on the side in terms of, like, professional stuff. I would say over the last 9 months, we consciously made the decision that we were going to try to take on less client work unless it was things we were really excited about and put all of our eggs in the basket of GFDA, and you know we've committed to working at like a full-time job at this point. But outside of that,
yeah. Well, I mean, in addition to what Brian said, GFDA has really created this kind of this luxury of having the ability to say no to things. So we don't really promote what we do as freelancers. We basically, if the phone rings and we know who it is, we pick it up and try to continue to service our clients. But otherwise, we're not generally looking for work. But, you know, otherwise, you know, when we're not doing GFDA, and up until recent, as because we've graduated, making things on the side, silkscreen, letterpress, anytime you can get your hands on something tactile, it was those experiences that, you know, that's where I spend most of my time.
Yeah, and for me, I'm very big into practicing martial arts. I've been doing that for about 13 or 14 years now, so I'm very big into that. As many evenings as I can after I get off work, going to work out and doing that. I probably, the only thing that rivals my collection of design books and ephemera would be things related to the martial arts, and I've been doing it for probably twice as long as I've been practicing design.
Okay, so you're threatening to kick my ass.
Yeah, right? Basically.
I mean, well, depending on how this goes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's always
now I know where you work, so yeah. Watch out.
That was a bad idea to record that here.
Right, maybe. Maybe. See, in our relationship, in our working relationship, I would be considered the bad cop, and oddly enough, Brian is the good cop, but he's the most lethal person in the room at most times.
So we have two bad cops?
In a sense, yeah.
Okay.
Just in very different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not helping me out here.
No, not really.
Okay. You're kind of outnumbered at
yeah,
this
I see
point.
That. Well, we do have, so last episode we had Drew Davies, who's actually here in Omaha, mm-hmm. and he's now AIGA National Co-President, mm-hmm. so every now and then when we figure out who the next guest is, we don't know who the next guest is, so you don't get the same privilege Drew did. But we had a couple...
Of course.
Of course not.
We had a couple questions for you. Okay. You can answer them individually or together. I don't care. There's two of them.
Okay.
And I do not know the answers. They're in the sealed envelope.
Oh,
wow.
He had it sent to Nicholas Burrows, who then printed it out here and put it in an envelope, so I don't know what these answers are.
Okay.
Okay, so first off is... What is the best color?
Oh,
do you want to talk about this real quick? Should we?
Well, what is
and
the
they,
best
and
color?
They are coming to a consensus here, I think. So I think we're going to get one answer. I mean, if you guys need to debate on
Brian, Brian and I always have this thing where we have a conversation without actually having the conversation. The best color is, in fact, warm red.
Warm red.
PMS warm red.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see if this actually matches up to our expert opinion here. Who is the National AIGA co-president? So he's an expert.
I really hope that we've got this one right.
And the other one is Arial.
Mm-hmm.
Great typeface or greatest typeface ever. And I think if you say it's not the greatest typeface ever, you probably have to say what is.
Shit.
Yeah, this is a hard one. I mean,
it's the greatest ripoff ever.
Well, that's debatable too. It's such a subjective question. I say greatest typeface ever.
I concur.
Okay. Well, let's see. We'll open the envelope here.
Although I already know my answer if I had to go the other way, so.
What's your answer if you went the other way?
Well, the greatest typeface ever made is Helvetica. It's overused.
Even though we don't actually use Helvetica on our website anymore, we're not going to tell you what we use. That's for you to figure out.
Okay. The best color is Pantone Cool Gray 8.
No, you know, the cool gray? Why not warm gray?
Yeah.
Warmer colors are always sexier.
Yeah, show some love.
Go present or not.
I think that the temperature has really skewed your opinion here.
Yeah, maybe. I've been in a van.
Been in a van that's 100 degrees for the last 4 hours of my life.
It also sounds like a tractor on steroids, so.
Okay. And the aerial, he said, is a trick question. Gil Sands Extra Bold.
Gil Sands?
I don't like the A's on Gil Sands. Yeah. We have to talk.
Too humanist. I won't take that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I can agree or not. I'm just saying this is what our...
you're just the messenger, and we won't shoot or hurt or kill you.
Yeah, maybe if you work for the London Underground, but I'm not interested.
It's very possible Drew will be at your event tonight, so if you want a bad cop...
Can I actually have that to take
wrong.
It with me?
Yeah.
I'd like to address him
directly.
As though the answers are completely...
Yeah, okay, so I'm handing off the answers so that if Drew is, if you see Drew with a black eye running around Omaha, Nebraska, it is not me, it is,
it was Brian.
Yeah, it is Brian.
Classic.
And we should also mention that you guys are not only torn, but you guys brought paparazzi with you. Is this right?
Yeah, you know, we thought really when we started thinking about a tour, we knew that it's not something.
Is this to document all the ass kicking you guys will do?
Maybe, yes. Maybe, or all the advice we're delivering.
So there might be a video of Drew getting his ass kicked.
Well,
I hope so. Not Drew in particular.
I mean, that might be part of the private collection that doesn't like get distributed or you know otherwise known as evidence.
We've had to bury some, you know, ass-kicking footage in the past.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So,
I mean, that's why you have good friends, right?
But yeah. And then we kind of thought of this idea, like, if we're going to go on tour, we have to document it because we know that it's such a luxury. And it's not something that everyone has the opportunity to do. Part of it is we want to share it with people so that they realize how little it takes to actually make something like this happen. And that it can be a reality for you. And in doing that, we found Danielle Miller... through Vimeo and a few friends, and we actually convinced her to take a leave or quit her job, as we say. She didn't want us to say that, but more importantly, she agreed to ride along with us in the van for 52 days. So she's going to be capturing whatever it is she captures and producing a webisode roughly every week of the things that have happened.
Now, so these will be like coming up, like probably they're probably already up by the time we.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to run the first one, I think, on either Tuesday or Wednesday next week, and then sort of try to keep it about that every week.
So where do our listeners go to watch these webisodes?
If you visit tour.gfda.co, that's the shortest domain we can give you at the moment. There are some sub-navigation there that'll take you to pictures of people posting hashtag GFDA USA.
And I saw the van has hashtag GFDA
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Right. In an effort. So anytime people post images, they all get trended into the same feed so that we can see kind of what people see, what we post, kind of a collage of everything that we've come across.
So the videos are on there as well, or will be, and then also are all of our tour stops with just a quick high-level information, which you need, location, time, date, map, et cetera. And then we'll also have some writing from the road, which we're going to get to this weekend.
Yeah.
Start putting some of our thoughts out there of our experiences so far.
There's plenty of quiet time in the van because it is, in fact, a 360 Dodge. So it's like screaming loud all the time. Brian and I, the only time we have a conversation is through the megaphone that we brought along. So we shout at each other, basically.
Right. And that's how I give him navigation if he's driving or vice versa.
Well, you know, we could have recorded this whole thing with the megaphone.
Oh, well, should we start again?
Yeah, let's start again. We'll have Brian sit in the other room. We'll have Jason sit in that room. And we'll just
and then we can get the answers correct.
Yeah.
Making quotation marks with my hands here
mm-hmm.
for those questions.
Yeah. Gil Sands.
Extra bold.
Yeah.
Extra bold is extra awesome.
We'll see.
Yeah. For you students out there, you know, my tip is if you can extra bold it. extra bold it.
Yeah.
And then hit the bold icon in the program you're using, so it puts another fake bold on top of it.
And then outline.
Ooh.
Extra stroke around there?
Yeah.
A little heavier.
That's good. That's good. Do you guys have any tips for the students out there? We'll start with Jason. You got anything?
I got something. I think.
I mean, you guys are faculty members, so you guys. Well, of course, you have tips for the students.
Of course. That's why they have to go. Okay. That's why they have to go to Kent State University.
What,
we don't just.
What is your personal favorite tip that you've given on the site?
On the site, a little bit different. For me, it's work fucking harder. I think creativity is a work ethic, and to get there or to be successful in your career as a designer, you have to get used to the idea that you're going to have to work. But with hard work also comes balance. But I think you have to learn what hard work is first before you can discover what the balance is. So it would be work harder.
I would say mine would be, particularly for students, is to keep fucking learning. I think that's one of the greatest things that somebody can do, particularly after they finish school. A lot of people I meet just are kind of like, they finish school and they feel that like they don't have to continue learning or growing. And I think especially if you're going to be involved in any sort of academic pursuit, the best teachers are students themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think to round all that out, I think students lose sight of the idea that college is the safest place they can be, and that taking those risks during that point in their life when they're young really can open up opportunities later in their life. So kind of forgetting about the idea that, oh, what if I do this and it fails and it doesn't work out for me? Well, 10 years down the road, it'll be a lot scarier.
Yeah, and so, it would have been a lot more difficult for us to start GFDA had we not been involved in grad school at the same time together. If we were working professionally and trying to come home at night and pull it off, it would have been far more challenging. I don't know if we would have gotten to where we are.
Right, so kind of use the fact that school is a safe environment, a safe place to fail.
It's kind of built to fail.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's great. Well, Brian, Jason, we really appreciate you being on the show. For listeners, thanks for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luders.